Three things to expect in December. NFL playoff race heating up, CTV show back with another episode, and the Miami Dolphins absolutely losing a must-win game in the middle of December. We've done it again. We're back with another episode. Kat, how you doing, man?
Fuck, I'm doing great, and I'll tell you this for free. I was pissed off at your Dolphins because they screwed me out of a big parlay this weekend. I was raging. I was in the comment section talking, slandering your boy Tua and Mike McDaniel. I was a very heated man. You know, I look back, sit back, and look at everything from a 20-foot view, and I was like maybe a little bit overreacting, but I want to hear your take today because that was disastrous effort. I thought that game was theirs for them to win, and they fell short, which is seemingly the sort of narrative of this whole season for the Miami Dolphins.
It's crazy because it's like you have that obviously horrible start. You lose him. You're the 32nd best offense in the NFL without him. He comes back in and you're immediately like a top five offense in the NFL every week. You're scoring 30 points every week. You're looking like the playoffs can be a real thing. And then in the end, none of it matters. None of it matters when you can't get it done when it counts. And that's where we are right now in Dolphin land. There's a lot of speculation going on. I'm sure we'll get to it all in today's show, as well as talking about some other takeaways with what was a very, very big week in the NFL. It's crazy. There were a lot of dominoes that fell with some of the action that took place, particularly in the AFC and even in the NFC with teams like the Rams really bolstering their playoff chances with a Thursday night win. Teams like the Falcons hanging on, but not looking so great. Maybe some quarterback controversy over there. Your Michael Penix take. Maybe you had a little crystal ball there when you said that. But it's been fun. We only got 3 weeks left of this NFL season, so I think we're going to enjoy every single one, even if some of these finishes, particularly in the AFC, aren't going to be as great as some of us hoped. How are you? How was your football Sunday? I don't even remember what the Cowboys... Oh, I guess they won. The Cowboys won against
free
the Panthers.
Free money. They were free money this weekend. There was no...
Didn't you almost take the Panthers on the spread?
I know, but you know what? That was Monday, and then as I got closer to the weekend, I was absolutely all over the Cowboys just because I was like, what the heck are the Panthers doing being three-point favorites sitting at 3-10? I'm sorry, but you stink. I know I throw that on the podcast quite a bit, but... The Cowboys are just too good to tank, to be honest. As much as I was a couple weeks ago, you asked me 2 months ago, maybe a month and a half ago, I was like, yes, we're getting Travis Hunter. We're in the first overall sweepstakes. I remember I said we're the worst team in the NFL. Obviously, with Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb and the other players that we have on our team, I don't necessarily know we have that much star power. You know, Trayvon Diggs is out now with for the season and well into next season. Overshown's down. So we do have our fair share of injuries, but we're just simply too good to be picking in the up top half of the top 10, I should say. I think we may have a chance picking around 9 or 10, hopefully, fingers crossed. But other than that, it was a good weekend, Pac. I thought there was a ton of good games. Buffalo-Detroit was honestly probably we say this every single week, but one of the best games of the season.
Well, we just talked about Rams-Lions. Rams-Buffalo. Rams-Bills. And then Bills played the Lions like 2 weeks in a row, there's 80 points scored in a Buffalo Bills game. Josh Allen's pretty much all but cemented the MVP right now with some big, big December performances. So, yeah, it was a very interesting week. And obviously, that was kind of the icing on the cake for what were a ton of great games, especially in the 4 p.m. window. But we're going to break it all down, as we always do, with our six takeaways of the week. Where do you want to start with?
I mean, I'll start. You sort of alluded to it in the intro. I'm going to go look at the AFC playoff picture, Pac, because for all this talk before the year about how the AFC is going to be the dominant conference and the NFC is washed and Chiefs, Bills, and who cares about the NFC? There's two good teams in the NFC. This AFC playoff picture is so boring. It's done. You look, Chiefs, Bills, Steelers. The only thing that could flip-flop is maybe Pittsburgh and Baltimore. But Texans, Broncos, Chargers, they're your seven playoff teams. That's not changing. They are set in stone. The Colts are the next closest team at two games back, but everyone knows the Colts aren't making it. And I don't think I've ever seen a more bland and boring playoff race than this AFC playoff race. It's just there. It's set in stone. The Chiefs have a two-game lead on first. It's game and a half if you want to count that. But, I mean, I don't really care about the AFC right now, I'm all focused on the NFC. And I think everybody is. And for the sake of football, that's pretty poor. Like this December, these December months are meant for the dog days, right? You want to win to get into the playoffs type of thing. And the AFC playoff picture is sort of just there. And it's, you know, it's there's no storylines left. The only real storyline in the AFC is Josh Allen's MVP push and can Baltimore come back and win the division over Pittsburgh. Other than that, it's very, very boring.
And even that Baltimore-Pittsburgh, not debate, but like that question mark could be solved as early as this week. Because if the Steelers win, they lock up the AFC North, I believe. Because it'd be two games in front with two games left. And they have the head-to-head. They beat them twice. So, yeah, it's I can't remember a year where we necessarily weren't going down to the wire. Like last year, the Bills on week 18 played in Miami. And there was a shot. They ended up flexing the game to Sunday Night Football. So by the time the game started, I think because of what the Steelers did, this didn't happen. But there was a scenario going into Week 18 where the Bills could either get the 2 seed or they can miss the playoffs entirely. And it was just like, wow, maybe we took that for granted. Maybe we were treated to it. A year ago, the Jags were 8-3. They ended up losing the division and missing the playoffs altogether. Like, there was so much more down-to-the-wire intrigue in the playoff race a year ago. And honestly, what I believe in past years too, I can't remember a year where it's like, damn, the Denver Broncos were 5-5 and they just ripped off 4 wins in a row. They don't look like they're going to lose anytime soon. And it kind of makes it very difficult for a team like the Dolphins or a team like the Colts. Well, not a team like the Colts because they just could have beaten the Broncos this week. So I don't feel bad for them at all. But it makes it difficult for all these teams playing catch up to try and get in. So it's frustrating.
And this is not necessarily the gospel by any means, but the 7th seed in the AFC right now, according to NFL's crystal ball, whatever the hell they want to call this, but they have an 87% chance at making the playoffs. And that is with 3 games left to play. When has a 7th seed been a pretty much mortal lock to make the playoffs like it is this year in the AFC? I honestly think it's, like I said, it's boring, right? Like for the NFL as a product and for somebody that's, their team stinks, so I want to watch good games, and I want to watch down-to-the-wire football, there just isn't going to be that in the AFC. The only, like you said, is going to be literally this Saturday. So next week on the show, what the heck are we going to talk about for the AFC? Seriously.
We're going to talk about the Chargers losing to the Broncos, the Dolphins beating the 49ers, and then the Chargers have 2 games left, the Dolphins have 2 games left. Dolphins can leapfrog them. The only problem is, and what makes it so boring, I don't know if you looked at the Chargers' schedule, their last 2 games of the year, Patriots and Raiders. Probably the 2 worst teams in the AFC. Yeah. So for teams on the outside, Dolphins fans, Colts fans, Bengals, I mean, the Bengals look like, you kind of kept your season alive, but it's still like such a long shot for them to get in. It's not very a fun year for the playoff race, but I guess it's a fun year for like, I don't think there have been 7 teams this strong make the playoffs in a while. I always find in the AFC last couple of years, the 7 seed's been pretty bad. And this year, like the Chargers, I know they just got blown out to the Bucs, but you know, I think they're a tough out. They got a great quarterback and they got a defense that, you know, can cause teams problems. They went down to the wire with the Chiefs. I think they can play against the Bills, the Texans, all these teams. In the past, I don't think we've had that. The Broncos, whether they're the 6th seed or the 7th seed, that defense is legit, and I think that'll make for a good playoff game. So I guess, you know, you can't really have it both ways, but I still would have loved a playoff race that went down to week 18.
100%. I think everyone does, but not going to get that this year.
All right, we got to talk about one of the teams that is more than likely now to miss the playoffs, and it's all because of this. What is next for the Miami Dolphins? You gain momentum. You look like you're finally turning a corner. Tua comes in. He reignites this team. You go from offense number 32 to a top 5 offense in the league. But in the end, you lose when it matters most. You have a chance to really, really be in the hunt, to fight for a playoff spot late in December. You go into Green Bay, you lose. You go into Houston, you lose. Mike McDaniel now, 3-13 as Miami Dolphins head coach against teams with a winning record. This is just, it's not a fluke anymore. There is a big enough sample size where this is a massive concern. So where do you go from here? Because there's one side of the argument where You can say, hey, if Tua doesn't get hurt, you probably beat those three bad teams that you lost to while he was out, and you're probably going to make the playoffs right now. But for what? Because if they were in the playoffs, they just lose to the in the first round anyways. They can't win on the road. They can't win in tough conditions. They can't beat any teams that are have any semblance of a good roster. Now you just start to look big picture, and it's like, where do you go from here? Do you keep this head coach? Do you completely start from scratch? Do you tear down this build of the team where it's all about speed and finesse and flash and motion and complex offenses? And I don't know. I don't know where this team goes. It is so, so frustrating cheering for this team, because the moment you think that, you know, this time it's going to be different, it never is. It's the same old song and dance over and over and over again. And I don't know, Mike McDaniel, like, that seat's, it's got to be somewhat hot at this point.
Oh, 100%. And the one thing that I'm struggling to grasp around the Dolphins, and don't get me wrong, I know, and it's probably harder for you to see as every fan it is, because when you're in that bubble, you think your team could just, you know what I mean, beat anyone on any given Sunday. I think the Dolphins are built sort of, it's either the playoffs are going through Miami and that's their path to the Super Bowl, or they're not making the Super Bowl type of thing, right? Like, I'm not trusting a team that's built on speed and softness, because I think that's what it is. They're not a physical team. They're not going to go into KC and beat KC. They're not going to go into Buffalo and beat Buffalo. They're not going to go and beat Baltimore on the road. Like, if you punch them in the mouth, the Dolphins aren't punching you back. Now, what is that problem? Is that the head coach? I don't know. Is that the mold of the team? I don't know. There's so many moving pieces that, for me, it's hard to grasp, like, that's the problem or that's the problem. I know, obviously, it's easy for people to go and say, oh, Tua's the problem, or Mike McDaniel's the problem, or look at the build of the team, that's the issue. For me, it's way more complex. I genuinely don't know where the Dolphins go from here. Do I think Tua is an elite quarterback that can just go in and battle the best of the best? Maybe not. Do I think he's good enough to win with? Absolutely. He's shown you that he is good enough to win. Do I think Mike McDaniels is a coach that can necessarily win you football games? I don't know yet. So maybe that is the issue, but honestly, Pac, I genuinely don't have an answer or an idea when it comes to this Dolphins team. It's probably one of the harder teams that I've just been unable to grasp them this whole entire year.
Why I struggle so much with this conversation is, like, we brought Mike McDaniel in at a time where there was so many questions around our quarterback and Tua. And the first thing Mike McDaniel did was turn Tua into an, I'm going to put air quotes, elite quarterback. Because the numbers were there. The results were there to a certain extent. I mean, if you're a bad team and you come into Miami on Sunday at 1 o'clock, we're going to blow you out. Our offense is going to score 35 points. Tua's going to throw 300 yards, 3 touchdowns with an 80% completion percentage. That wasn't happening before Mike McDaniel got here. So part of me is like, do you move off of a guy who has done so many good things rebuilding a player, which is very hard in the NFL? It's hard for these young quarterbacks to get second chances and come in and, you know, end up signing a contract worth $50 million because of stuff that they did and things that they accomplished on the field. Like, Tua has been really good under Mike McDaniel these past 3 years. So do you move off of that and you venture into something where, you know what, earlier on in his career with a head coach that maybe, you know, didn't believe in Tua as much, it didn't work. But there's certain things with Mike McDaniel where it's like, it's the same old song and dance time after time after time. Like, why do we look unprepared in all these games? Why does it take 45 seconds to get the play in and we're burning 2 timeouts in the second half every single game? Like, there's just these little things where the team just looks like they're not ready to play with the big boys. And, I mean, 3 years for a head coach, not a lot of guys get much more than that in terms of a shelf life to win a playoff game and to, you know, turn your organization into a true competitor. So, I don't know. It's a very tough question. Dolphins have 3 games left. They play the 49ers, the Jets, the Browns. All 3 teams are below 500. They'll probably blow out 2 out of the 3. They'll win the 3rd. They'll look good in all these games. The offense will score a ton of points. And it's like, oh, you know, we missed the playoffs by 1 game and our quarterback missed 4 games for injury. Do you move off a coach for that?
I don't know, Pac. It's honestly, the question is, what is the ceiling of this team? That's, because everyone, exactly. Right? Everyone knows they're in September, they're going to look amazing. In October, they'll look amazing. But I don't, like, I'm sure you don't care about that either. No. Like, you don't. You want to see them
when,
win in
when
January.
There's, like, I grew up with them being really bad. So when that first happened, when they got really good,
of course,
it was a ton of fun. This is the best thing in the world. But now, you know, when you've seen it 3 years in a row, yeah, who cares? Who cares if you're good in September? Show me, I mean, we were talking, I wanted to bring this stat up in the show at some point. I don't know if you had plans to with the Josh Allen stat, but like we were talking about this before the show. Josh Allen this year in September, early October, had a game where he was 9 of 30 and they lost to the Texans.
I remember that game.
Where he, you know, was like 16 of 31 and they lost to the Ravens. They got blown out against the Ravens. Yep. He actually didn't even finish that game. They're losing by so bad. Nobody cares about that right now because in December, he's the best quarterback in the league. And I feel like that's what the Dolphins lack, the ability to show up at the right time. And yeah, you know, as a coach, McDaniel's done a lot of good things, but doesn't really seem to matter when it really counts. So I don't know. I'm indecisive. I like the guy a lot. I want it to work, but I just don't know how many times this team can do this.
And you're see, honestly, you're seeing that with Dallas too. Like, I think there's a lot of similarities in the question marks around those teams, because like Mike McCarthy, you look at his body of work, 12 wins, three straight 12 win seasons. Now, obviously they're taking a step back just due to injuries, but it's like, okay, you know, you can get to the playoffs, but can Mike McCarthy be that guy to get you over the next step, right? Type of thing. And I don't think he is. And it goes back to Mike McCarthy. I don't know if he is either. Right. So it's an interesting offseason for sure. I don't know what direction the Dolphins think they need to go in. Obviously we can just sit here and comment on it, but we're not actually in the front office or making those types of decisions. So I would like to see where the discourse is between us and them. That's going to be sort of its own topic of conversation, because there's going to be a direction where they go in, whether they're committing through this quarterback or they're committing through this head coach, or maybe they don't change a thing and just run it back next year. I don't know what they do, but whatever they do, there's going to be people that are going to criticize it and people that are going to side with it. So that's, just the sake of the NFL. I'm going to go to my second takeaway, and I'm going to look straight into the Commanders' eyes.
Oh, boy. This is...
For the sake of the NFL, please, please, please find yourself missing the playoffs, because I don't want to see it. I look at the NFC playoff picture right now, and I see the Lions, the Eagles, the Bucks, the Rams, the Vikings, the Packers. And then I see the Commanders. It's like, this would have been perfect. And now, just, it's like, ugh. They're going to go into Philly. They're going to get killed. And it's just going to be a waste of 4 hours of my life. I want to watch a good football team play a good football team in the playoffs. The Commanders just aren't ready yet.
Okay, so who...
They're not.
Who are you replacing them
with? I would rather see the 49ers.
Oh, my
god. This current 49ers team, I'd rather see as a seventh seed. I would rather see Seattle... Telling you, I'd rather see Seattle. That team could at least make an upset. That defense has the capabilities. That offense could, you know what I mean? They've been there before. Their head coach has been there before.
We just watched Seattle Sunday night against Green Bay.
It doesn't matter.
Killed.
It doesn't matter. Arizona, I'd rather see Arizona there.
Oh, my gosh. The Commanders dropped 40 on the Cardinals this year. No, this actually might be your worst take on the show.
No. It's not.
This might be your worst take, because the Commanders, okay, yes, they're not going to, you know, go into Philly, and I don't expect them to do that, but you got a really exciting young rookie in Jaden Daniels, and a team that, you know, no one really expects. Like, it's a fun story. I think the defense is a little bit underrated. Terry McLaurin, star power, Jaden Daniels. Like, this is a team I want to watch in the playoffs. I would much rather watch them over Seattle. I know Seattle, I think they're a little underrated with how good their defense is. But any of the other teams, like Atlanta, I know you didn't say Atlanta.
No, Atlanta's not included.
They're knocking on the door. Arizona, I'm very fed up with, because just when you think they're good, they get blown out and they don't look good. I'm not really pushing back too much at the fact that, like, do I think the Lions or the Eagles, there's a possibility that they blow them out? Yes. But you can't tell me there's a better team that's not in the playoffs right now.
All the Commanders are a good story right now. And stories are fairy tale. They don't matter. I don't care. I literally do not care. You're telling me that the Commanders have a better chance at upsetting one of these top two teams than a team like Seattle does?
Like, so Seattle has a Seattle having a veteran quarterback, I think, is nice, but I would take Jaden Daniels this Sunday 100%. Over Geno Smith for sure. I really like Seattle's defense, particularly their second. Like, I love Devin Witherspoon. I think he's like he's a game changer type guy. And I don't know if Washington quite has that level of star power on their defense, but I don't know. I think there have been far worse teams to make the playoffs in recent years than the Washington Commanders, if the Washington Commanders do get it done.
For sure. But I'm talking about this season. I don't care about past seasons. Like, I genuinely think that if the Commanders were to play Philly, that spread would be bigger than if Arizona was going into Philadelphia or for the 49ers really? Were going to Philadelphia or Seattle. I'm telling you, yeah, 100%. Well, there is not a single scenario where Washington wins a playoff game in Philadelphia. And I get it's divisional.
That, I hope they win now. Just so
sure,
that we can
sure, sure, sure. That would be awesome. Honestly, I hope. I would love to like get clowned for that take. But I genuinely do not think there is a scenario where Washington wins a playoff game this year. Next year, you could talk to me. I think next year they'll be a good team. But this year, they're not ready. So please make way for another team to, you know, Seattle next year, they're probably going to stink. So let's get them into the playoffs this year. At least they can make some fireworks. No? Like, I don't think the 49ers. Just get in. Fireworks. The 49ers would be awesome.
We need to address the 49ers for a second because I feel like you and a lot of people all year long have been, like, holding on to the fact that they're called the San Francisco 49ers and they're coached by Kyle Shanahan. And it's like, oh, they've got, which they have. They have gotten unlucky with injuries. But, like, this is not a playoff team this year.
100%.
Like they are bad. No. They are bad.
But
I would
still watch them.
I would take the Commanders any day over the 49ers right now.
On a neutral field?
Yes.
No
any
way.
Any day. Yes. Okay. This is not a good team right now.
You know
they're
what?
We're going
to
well.
Go back. We're gonna have to go back to this because clearly this is unsettling. I'm going to get roasted for this, but I don't care. Will you talk to me in January when we're on the show Monday morning and Philadelphia plays Washington round one and it's 34-7?
I think when you said those, you know, especially Philadelphia and winning by a big score, reminds me of when the Giants made the playoffs. And I think this Commanders team is way better than that Giants team.
Yeah, that's my take. Without a doubt. But this year, I want all those teams in and Washington out because I just don't see Washington. It's a nearly a perfect playoffs. Like Lions, Philly, Tampa, Rams, Vikings, Packers, and then Washington. And then it's like, no.
And then the offensive rookie of the year who has put up like RG3 level numbers this year and is dynamic and can run and is connecting with Terry McLaurin, who, you know what, I'm kind of actually feeding into your take where you're like, all they are is a good story. I think they're more than a good story.
They are.
No, I like the Commanders. I want to see them in the playoffs. I would much rather see them in the playoffs over a lot of the other teams. And I think it's mostly just because Jaden Daniels, to me, is a big sell. But there you go. There's your take. I want to talk about a team that is going to be in the playoffs, most likely going to be in the playoffs now. And it's crazy that they have overcome losing both games to their division rival, and that's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They went 0-2 against the Atlanta Falcons this year, but they are just absolutely cooking against everybody else. And I think if the NFL had an award for most improved player, most underrated player, whatever you want to call it, Baker Mayfield would run away with this award. There's four quarterbacks with 30 touchdowns this season. Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield. Over the last 2 years, you know who leads the league in touchdown passes? Baker Mayfield has 60 touchdown passes in the last 2 years. Only Jared Goff has an equal amount. Nobody seems to talk about this guy when you're throwing around your top 10 quarterbacks, your guys who are really impressing you this season. And I think you talked about Washington being a good story. Everyone loved to talk about Baker Mayfield last year. Oh, he's a good story. His research is, but nobody took him actually seriously. And I think this year, with how good he's been, it's about time that he sheds that label. And people have to stop saying like, oh, you know, he was with the Panthers and it's great that he's back being a starting quarterback and the Bucs are good. No, the Bucs aren't just good. I think they're a legit player in these NFC playoffs. People don't remember how far they pushed the Lions a year ago. And I genuinely think Baker Mayfield has been a top five quarterback this year, if not even higher. Like, he is just so good, and he gets the most out of his weapons. Chris Godwin goes down. Offense hasn't really missed a beat. They're still, it's still working for them. Like, they just put 40 on the Chargers in L.A., and not enough people are talking about this guy. I don't know. I just think he deserves way more respect.
I think you got to first change your tone from nobody to everybody okay, but Cat.
Yeah, you've been on him since he was playing scout team D-line for the Panthers. Actually, even before you've been on him since he was at Oklahoma.
Even before that. And you know what, Pac? That whole time, I was just smiling through that whole take. Not that you doubted, ever doubted Baker Mayfield. I'm just saying, there's a lot of people out there.
There was a time where I was like, I think this guy might be. Do you remember when he had the Kyle Trask quarterback battle?
Yeah.
And there was that like video in training camp of them just like bombing it over the receivers' heads. Where's Kyle Trask now?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There has not been a guy that's been more disrespected than Baker Mayfield. Even when he was the first overall pick. Sure. Could it have been Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen? Sure. Hindsight's 2020. I don't care. But that draft, when they took him first overall, they were like, oh my God, this is the worst draft pick. He took that Browns franchise from the slums. He picked them out. He just dragged them out. That franchise still is a joke, by the way. It still is an absolute joke. Benching my guy, Jameis Winston, even though he deserves to be benched. We'll say that for a different topic. All the way to losing by field goal to go to the AFC Championship against the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And then for whatever reason, I mean, bad franchises do bad things. Deshaun Watson, come over here. Baker Mayfield, go to Carolina. Carolina takes him. Oh, you know what? We don't need him to play quarterback. We're going to have him play scout safety. Carolina, another bad franchise. Garbage. The Rams, hey, Baker, come here, play 2 days. No, you don't need it. Boom. Sunday night, or what, Thursday night, whatever it was, wins on primetime. Tampa Bay signs him, another good franchise, signed Tom Brady, you know, doing the right things. And now he has made his way, and he is honestly probably on one of the greatest contracts in the entire NFL. I think he makes like $33 million a year or whatever it is, $35 million a year. There is not a single guy in the NFL that is easier to root for than Baker Mayfield, just because of all the BS that he's got to deal with, to be honest with you, because that's literally what it is. Everything from Cleveland to Carolina to the Rams, and now with Tampa, he's had to deal with so much BS on every step of the way. Because even when he got to Tampa, like you said, there was that point where, is Kyle Trask going to start with this team? No, are you nuts? Like, Baker Mayfield is a stud, and he is the perfect example of why you should never give up on a guy like him. Because he was a walk-on in Oklahoma, he has had to fight for every single step of the way, and he has never, ever, ever given up. Because he's very easy to. Like, he could have just said, you know what, I made my money, I was a first overall pick, screw it, I'm gonna just fold over and sort of retire. And he didn't. He kept fighting back, and this Bucks team has playoff upset written all over him. You give me Tampa and Detroit, you give me a spread of like 4.5, I'm taking plus chicken on the Bucks all day. I am.
I mean, they pushed them really far last year. Like I said,
and they beat them this year.
Yeah, they're the only team. I can't remember who else they beat. There was a stat. Oh, the Eagles. They were the only team in the NFL to have beaten both the Eagles and the Lions.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
Before the Lions lost this week, they were the last loss for both of those teams. Yep. They lost the Eagles in week 4, I believe, Lions in week 2. So crazy what the Bucs are doing. Shout out to Baker Mayfield. Also, you mentioned best contract in the NFL right now. It's very poetic that the worst contract in the NFL right now is Deshaun Watson, the quarterback that they moved off Baker for. So brutal for the Browns. He's also going to ask you, which draft class would you rather have? I was thinking about this the other day, just because Sam Darnold's been so good this year. The two MVPs in the NFL are Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson.
Sam Darnold was in that draft too.
Yeah, Sam Darnold's 3rd overall.
And Saquon.
Yeah, but I'm talking just quarterbacks. Which quarterback draft class would you rather have? 2018, so those 4 quarterbacks. Josh Rosen was in there too, but we can forget about him. Or 2020 with Burrow, Tua, Herbert, and Jalen Hurts. And Jordan Love.
Wow, those are 2 good classes, yeah, man. I mean, I think that's really tough.
I know.
That's
really very tough. We should do a post on that.
Yeah, we should. That's very tough. I honestly don't have an answer for you.
I would take 2020.
I think Darnold and Baker.
Well, I think Baker, like I just said, he's got to shed the label. Like, now it's at the point where, like, he's a very good quarterback. Darnold, I think there's still a little bit of like some hesitancy just because this is really his first good year. Whereas the 5 guys from 2020, yeah, we've pretty much only seen good from them in, yeah, the NFL.
Like, you could make the argument that Tua is the worst one of those 5.
Yeah, or Hurts.
Or Hurts. Exactly. Like, yeah. So the QB 4 and 5 is better in that draft than it is in the 2018 draft, because you're looking at Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen, who, I mean, like you said, Sam Darnold's making a late resurgence.
But I still think, I don't think anyone would take Darnold over Tua or Jalen Hurts.
I think that the fun topic is like, who are you taking at the top there? Are you taking like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or are you taking Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow type of thing.
I'm taking Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Yeah.
Look, again, I'm not going to hate anybody for whatever. Those are two remarkable, remarkable classes. And imagine like if 2021 panned out too. Like we would have been talking.
2021 like, is like the worst.
Yeah, I know. But there was like going down as like that was like the greatest quarterback class.
Came out
ever.
It's like this is better than 2020. Well, I mean, at the time, like Hurts was not really expected to be this good.
And but still,
Jordan Love was a shock. Trey, I still like Trey Lance. Maybe he'll start for the Cowboys next year.
This is Trey Lance number one truther.
Yeah.
But speaking about Lamar Jackson though, it leads me into my next take.
Oh boy.
And this is completely not real. Actually, it is somewhat relatable because you know what? I'm sick and tired of it. I'm pissed off. One, I'm pissed off because the Cowboys aren't in the headlines. I'm trying to just get them back into the headlines. And two, Dak Prescott was robbed of the MVP last year. And I'm reminded again by, I woke up Monday morning and I see, oh, Lamar Jackson's stats this year were better than his stats last year when the MVP. It's because he wasn't the MVP last year. He literally was not. The MVP lost the MVP because his defense, for whatever reason, couldn't stop the Miami Dolphins for the life of them with a minute left in the game on Christmas Eve. So how does that make sense? How can a quarterback lose his MVP because his defense just fell on their ass and sucked? Like, you look at their stats now. Like, it was driving me crazy. 36 total touchdowns to 29 total touchdowns. The passer rating was there. What are we playing, fantasy? Like, I get it. Lamar Jackson had a million more rushing yards than him. It's pissing me off, and it continued to piss me off as I saw it again on Monday. It triggered back bad memories, and there is no business that Lamar Jackson should be a two-time MVP right now, because last year it was not deserving. It should have been Dak Prescott, and for whatever reason it was not. And I was reminded by that on Monday by I think he tweeted something about how his stats are better, and that just pissed me off. My whole Monday was ruined. It was legit ruined.
I think this might be worst take.
No, it's not. It's not. You know what? We need a graphic to show. It's not. It's not a bad take at all.
You understand. You, more than anybody, understand doing this, talking about football every week. You understand. I just talked about Josh Allen in September this year, sucking 2 weeks in a row. And if he did that in December, he would have lost MVP. It's a narrative-based award, and it's all about what you do late in the season. And Lamar Jackson last year in prime time was an underdog in San Francisco, and they absolutely blew out the 49ers, who everyone was calling the best team in the league, and that's why he won MVP. And his numbers throughout the season, they didn't pop off the charts like they do this year, but they were still good enough. I think you can't scoff at his rushing contributions because that counts. And if you want to talk total touchdowns, last year Josh Allen had like 40 total touchdowns. He had more than both of them. I know he had a lot of picks. But also, I think if there was someone to win that wasn't Lamar, it probably would have gone to CMC last year.
Yeah, see, and that's
I think if the Cowboys beat the Dolphins that day in Miami, I don't think Dak would have won MVP.
But he drove down the field and scored.
What? Now this is pissing me off because you're reminding me of a time where the Dolphins won a big game.
Exactly. You know what, C-Puck? I'm telling you, you're coming on my side.
I can't believe that was my Christmas gift last year. The Dolphins.
I was at that game.
And they were actually kind of sloppy. A lot of field goals in that game. They could have been better. And they found a way to win. They can't do that.
Brandon Cooks at the back of the end zone. I was amped. I was thinking about the MVP. And it was stripped from me.
And they clinch the playoffs. Man, I remember when the Dolphins clinched the playoffs. Oh, it's such a good time when they do that. I can't believe I'm not going to see them in the playoffs this year. Oh, it's terrible. You want to know stat of the week? Since now we're just bringing up old stuff. I was born in the year 2001. Since the year 2001, 31 NFL organizations have won a playoff game. And the Dolphins are the one that hasn't. So there you go. Never seen them win a game. Every other team I have seen them win the game. But whatever. My last takeaway, I'm gonna give you two stats. I genuinely don't know where I even stand on this, but it's the talk of the town this morning because of what happened last night. Caleb Williams is at the epicenter of criticism right now. The body language looks bad. The team looks like a disaster. He's on his second head coach. He's on his third offensive coordinator of the year. Nothing is going right in Chicago, a place where we talked about being the best landing spot for a first overall pick, maybe ever. You know, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, solid defense, a team that, won 8 games a year ago? It was like, you're getting a pro-ready quarterback, and he is going to be good from day one. That was the expectation. They've now lost 8 in a row. It's been a complete disaster. And this is where stats, because to me, when I look at these numbers, I think stats can kind of fool you. Caleb Williams, he's on pace right now, there's three games left, for 20 touchdowns, six interceptions, 3,400 yards. Kyler Murray, when he won the Offensive Rookie of the Year in 2019, 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 3,700 yards. So it's so similar, a season that we've held to a standard of rewarding a guy for Offensive Rookie of the Year, and a season now that, to me, has kind of been a complete failure. Like, you've lost eight games in a row. Yeah, you've been in a lot of them. You've had some big, big coaching meltdowns that have cost you a lot of them. But I just don't feel, watching this team, that they look organized, like they look respectable, and they look good this year when I watch Caleb Williams. And that's not to say that I'm out on this guy as having a good future in the NFL, because I think that's very harsh. And you know what? We see rookie quarterbacks struggle all the time. There's nothing new. But just given the expectation this year of what's happened in Chicago, I don't think he's quite met it. But then when you see numbers like this, it's like, are we being too harsh on Caleb? Or is this a scenario where it's like, I don't care what the stats tell me. Turn on the game, watch. It looks like a disaster.
But does it look like a disaster? Like, I don't think he's playing, like, horrible. I think the offensive line sucks. Sure, is he trying to do too much? Absolutely. But that's who he is. Like, you're going to take that. I think where it comes down to is the expectation. And he came out and, I mean, I absolutely, like, heralded him as, like, this. I think I picked him to win, like, 11, 12 games or whatever. You're talking about bad takes. I got some bad takes. Maybe I'll pull them out eventually. But when I watch Caleb Williams play, maybe I'm in the sort of my own boat here, but I genuinely don't see a quarterback that's like that's struggling as mightily as people herald him to be. Sure, yeah, is he missing some throws here and there? But dude, like, he's getting smoked. The left tackle, whoever's playing tackle, I don't even know who the heck's on that offensive line. Again, their head coach is disaster. He's on his third offensive coordinator. Like, give the guy a break. He's a rookie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if Caleb Williams was in his seventh season and he was 2 years into a mega rookie contract extension, like, sure, yeah, you want to talk about failing or talk about the future of the quarterback? Sure, absolutely. But, dude, like, he's played, like, 10, 11 games or 12 games. Like, you know what I mean? Pump the brakes a little bit.
I think that's where people are struggling, because the expectation was so high. And this team moved off of Justin Fields after going 8-9. And they felt like they had a good roster, and they just have not won at all. They have not looked good. There are definitely, like, he hasn't thrown an interception since October 13th, and that was in London in a 35-16 win. So it's not like he's, you know, after week three, he had four interceptions, and he has five right now. So there's definitely progression. It just, and at, like you said, they have three more years of him on a very, very cheap, affordable rookie deal. So I don't think it's too early to push the panic button yet. I just think that we all got caught up in very high expectation for the Chicago Bears. They were 4-2, and it just felt like this was the year that, you know, they were going to make the playoffs. I think they opened this year like plus 100 to make the playoffs. Like, it was the expectation.
And I like how you brought up last year with the Bears. Last year, this NFC North division was nowhere near as good as it is right now. Like, the Vikings were 7-10, and the Packers were 9-8, and they had a late year resurgence, yeah, right? Like, this was not a good division, right? So there was, sure, Justin Fields, again, that's another thing people are saying, like, oh, Justin Fields, it should have stuck with Justin Fields. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, that's got to be the craziest, and that's coming from me. I've said some crazy things. Like, that's nuts, right? So pump the brakes on Caleb, because he's going to be just fine. Get him some offensive line help. Get him an offensive coordinator, young offensive coordinator that's going to come be that head coach, like Ben Johnson or the guy in Tampa or Joe Brady. Like, one of these guys is going to come in there. Maybe Mike McDaniel. Maybe he's the offensive coordinator of this new head coach that comes in. You know what I mean? You know, like, you got to pump the brakes here. The talent is there. And if he wasn't the number one overall pick that was touted as this next best thing, people will be like, you know what? He's having his ups and downs, but he's had a fairly solid rookie campaign. And that's what he has been. So just take the sort of pre-draft takes out of the way and just take it for what it is. And he's playing pretty solid football. He's not amazing. He's not awful. He's just a rookie, you know?
All right, well, there it is, our six takeaways of the week, which brings us to now look ahead to week 16 in the NFL. Crazy, 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 crazy that we're already there. We got a big one this week. Saturday, Steelers versus Ravens. The AFC North can be decided that day with that game. Lamar Jackson versus the Steelers in his career. 1-4 record. We haven't seen a team like this where Lamar has actually struggled to win games. This is a guy that has destroyed everyone in the NFC, has been, you know, very, very, doesn't lose a lot of games. The only team I can think of is like the Chiefs in the playoffs. They have a hard time winning against. Lamar Jackson, 1-4 against the Steelers. It's a pretty must-win game for the Ravens team. I'm assuming they want to play at home in the playoffs. Are they getting it done?
Ravens by double digits.
Double digits. Okay, yeah. you're not gonna like what I have to say in our spread picks later on. Really?
Yeah, I think this is a game that they've been circling for a long time, especially how the first one ended. It feels like these teams are trending in different directions. I'm not gonna go in crazy and say like,
oh, I love the Steelers.
Pittsburgh,
man.
Is. I think there's a clear ceiling on the Steelers, guess, right? Yeah. I don't know if they have the offense to sort of give them success in the postseason, but I think this Ravens team is hungry and they have something to prove and they want that division title back. And as much as you want to say the stats go against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, which they do, I'm not going to say stats aren't saying that, but stats lie, you know, they do, they lie, right? And
just like, Dax MVP case from last
year. No. Those stats don't lie.
Complete garbage.
These stats lie. And Lamar Jackson, who still has something to prove too for his MVP race, which should be his second MVP race.
You think this year he should win?
No. I think Josh Allen should. He has a better, his stats are obviously better this year, and he's not going to win this year than they were last year. So but regardless, give me the Ravens. Give me them by double digits. And I think this Ravens team is bringing home this AFC North title.
I guess, honestly, if they win, they have the same record. I'm not sure who would hold the tiebreaker in that case. But the Steelers still play the Bengals and the Chiefs after that. Yeah. So it's pretty tough. The Ravens would have the Browns and whoever they play in week 17. So, all right, Cats taking the Ravens. I'm going to say it's a much closer game than that. I'm not going to spoil my spread pick later on, but I might take the Ravens too, just so you got that even split. But there it is. That's our game of the week, brought to you by our friends over at TickPick, your number one destination for all tickets to sporting events, concerts. And the best part about TickPick is there are zero hidden fees. The price you see on the website is the price you pay. And you can use code CTB20 at checkout for $20 off. Once again, that's TickPick, the ultimate destination for tickets. And the proud sponsor of our CTB game of the week. And we bring that right into our spread picks. And this guy over here is officially on heater watch after the worst first 3 months in spread pick history. You're what, 4-0 in your last 2 weeks? You were back at 500. You were thrown in the deep end. You were treading water for a long, long time. But you finally found your life vest and you're back.
And you know what? And it goes into my cat's locks too, because I have a bone to pick with a lot of people that are just absolutely calling me fade god.
Did you see like the one guy today? I think you tagged him.
Yeah, I did. I tagged him.
When are you posting your locks? I want to fade them. Yeah.
You know what? I respect it. That's
what was your record this week?
I think I was 3-2. I believe. Okay, so.
I saw you pick the Dolphins, so I just knew.
I was cheesed. Watch. Those Dolphins screwed me, but I'm back and I'm going to end the season positive, up money, in with those cats locks too. I don't care about how I start. It's about how you finish. If you're in the green by the end of the season, nobody cares. They only care if you're in the red, and I'm not the fade god. And I know you gave me the first overall pick last week, so I'll give you the first overall pick this week, Pac, because
I think you gave me the first overall pick.
Did I?
I can't remember. Anyways, I was 1-1 last week. I'm 15-8 on the season. You're 12-12. Impressive stuff from you.
You know what? So you're telling me I have the first pick?
Actually, I'm 15-9. You can, if you want the first pick, you can take the first pick.
Look. This is not my first choice. This is not my second choice. This is not my third choice. But because you leaked your pick, I would say, or something that you're tempted to, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to get some action on this show. I'm going to take the complete opposite. Give me the Ravens minus 6.5 Saturday night. Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson. It's over, Pac. You can fade me all you want, but it ain't happening.
Well, I have the Steelers plus 6.5 written down, and I don't mean to fade you. I just think, like, laying that many points, divisional game, two teams with very impressive records, a good defense in Pittsburgh, a good head coach in Mike Tomlin, December game, he's going to have his guys fired up. I think the Steelers plus 6.5, just for the value, it's a crime to see that number and to let that pass you by in the season. And I get it. The Ravens have had this game circled for a while and they want their revenge, but this is an experienced team. You know, there's only a couple quarterbacks in this league that have won a Super Bowl, and the Steelers have one of them. And Mike Tomlin, like I said, he's a very good coach, knows how to win in December. I think this is going to be a close game. At the very least, it's going to be a close game. Saturday night primetime? Come on. The NFL doesn't put snooze fests on
there. No, it's not going to be a snooze fest. It's going to be a nice game, but there's going to be a late touchdown, and Baltimore's going to win by 10 points. It's going to be like a 30-20 type of game. Trust me.
Okay. I'm going to take the Steelers 6.5. So that means you're right back. We're going up against each other.
We're going back. One of us is going to sink. One of us is going to float. My second pick, Pac, I hate to do this to you, but I'm taking the 49ers plus 1.5 against the Dolphins.
I might fade you on that too.
No way. Are we going to have the first ever just complete opposite ends of the spectrum here? That would make history. Honestly, it would make history. Give me the 49ers plus 1.5. The Dolphins don't beat good teams. And I know the San Francisco team isn't necessarily the good San Francisco 49ers that we're used to seeing, but they're still playing for something. Kyle Shanahan is going to go there and show Mike McDaniel what he's missing. And maybe he'll be back on that coach staff next year as the offensive coordinator or offensive assistant. But give me the 49ers plus 1.5 on the road in Miami.
I think I would go ahead and double fade you. But one, then our viewers or our listeners are really getting nothing over here because we're not getting really any picks. We're just all going against each other. And two, the last 2 weeks, last week I was 1-1. My loss was because I picked the Dolphins. The week before that, I was 1-1. My loss was because I picked the Dolphins. So I got to stop picking this Dolphins team, especially when it matters. And I guess our playoff hopes are still kind of alive, so I'm not going to pick them. I'm going to pick... You know what? I'm going to pick a team that's desperate, a team that's experienced. This could also be the last time Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford play against each other. I'm going to pick the Rams minus 3.5. Stafford, obviously, on the losing end of those matchups more times than not, being on the Lions for so long against Rodgers and the Packers, he needs to go and take down the guy who was at the top of his division his whole career for this Rams team to make the playoffs. They're only 3.5-point favorites against a Jets team that, let's be honest, they got their win last week, which means they're good for the next 6 weeks. So I'm going to take the Rams minus 3.5. There you go. Those are our picks of the week. We got some competition now that Kat started picking some winners, and he's catching up with me.
I said it was going to happen.
Yeah. No, you know what? Respect
that diamond hand.
You called your shot. But our picks of the week are sponsored by our friends over at PointsBet Sportsbook, the official betting partner of the CTB show. And if you're the ultimate competitor and you know the value of a home field advantage, make sure to download the PointsBet app where that advantage is yours with top-notch customer support, easy deposits. You can come make your picks with us on the PointsBet app every Sunday. We got his cover five, which people just love to fade. And every Monday, we got our parlays for Monday Night Football on there. So 19 years or older, please play responsibly. Big thanks to PointsBet as always. And there it is, another episode of the CTB show in the books. And we will see you right back here next week.
And next week is going to be the second last week of the NFL regular season, which is honestly crazy to think about. Like, it's December, late December, honestly. Yeah, you know what? It's pissing me off. So this is going to have to end. We'll see you next week. And next week, I'll be 2-0 on the spread picks, and Pac will be, unfortunately, 0-2. And I will be pushing. I'm coming right back for him. It's going to be close. It's going to be a tight race.
You can catch me.
It's going to be a tight race. And you know what?
You're 4 games behind. I have 15 wins. Or 3. I have 15 wins. You have 12.
I need a nearly perfect. I should have done it. I should have just purposely gave you the first overall pick and just hit faded you both for the sake of the viewers.
I usually win. Like, I'm 15-9.
You know what? Record.
I'm up 6 units.
Trends are meant to be broken, my friend.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.
See you guys.